So these three gunas, sattva, rajas, and tamas, as you know, sattva represents purity, represents knowledge. Rajas represents passion, activity, at times even becoming selfish. And tamas represents ignorance or darkness. At what levels do these three gunas operate in our BMI chart? People who are tamasic, they only work at the physical level, at the body level. A tamasic person, leave me alone. As long as he has food to drink, food and a bottle of wine and some marijuana, leave me alone. Let me just relax. And that's their existence. They live at the body level, enjoying having, enjoying means a very peculiar form of enjoyment, laziness, and let society take care of me. As long as I get my welfare check, once a month, I'm fine, I'm happy. And I was reading somewhere, if you get more from welfare than from work, then why would people work? And that is what is happening. People who get this, the welfare checks, if you count their food stamps and their health insurance and their Medi-Cal and all their children, and for each extra child they get so much money, soon people are going to say, why should I bother to work? So that is tamasic. These people work at the body level. I didn't want to get into politics, but I had just read this article somewhere. So tamasic people work at the body level. How about rajasic people? They, of course, also work at the body level because they want to have, food and drink and enjoy and parties and travel and all that. But to some extent, they do work at the mental and intellectual level because they want to be very successful. They want to make a lot of money. They want to have big business. So for that, you have to use your mind and intellect. So they work at the mental and intellectual level because they want to grow, multiply. But the sattvic people, they are not, maybe not, may not have realized Om, but they work at the spiritual level, at the level of the spirit, because they want to evolve. They want to do better. They want to know more. They want to help society. They want to work. So they are slowly evolving to the highest state of consciousness, even if they have not reached there. But at least they are on the path. And then people think, I am tamasic. I am stuck. I don't think I can go anywhere. I cannot. And it's almost like a paralysis has set in, into these people. It's like they're lying in this paralytic state. Society's there. Let them take care. Why do I? And sometimes they want to get out, but they say, oh, my whole life I have been on, my father was on welfare, my mother was on welfare, now I am on. And you feel that, but the teachers say that we don't have to be stuck. You can get out. It's like a glacier. Like a glacier, when you see it moving, it doesn't look like it is barely moving, slowly, slowly, an inch at a time it moves, and then eventually it becomes liquid and then, flows into the ocean and then can even become gas. It can evaporate and become, water vapor and create rain. So similarly, even a person who is stuck in tamas can get out if he has the right knowledge, if he meets the right guru from sattva. You cannot from sattva directly go to, I mean from tamas, you cannot directly go to sattva, but you can progress just as a glacier from ice becomes water, then from water becomes water vapor. So similarly, a tamasic person, if he meets the right guru, gets the right advice, gets the right guidance, can move from tamas to rajas and from rajas to sattva. Also, the reason we study these gunas is because it's, as I had said before, it's a barometer. It measures, just as a barometer measures the pressure of the atmosphere. So Gita is a barometer that measures our own pressure. Are we at tamasic level, rajasic level, or sattvic level? So one has to be constantly alert to what state am I in right now. And if I am working, if I'm in tamas, obviously, we should get out of that. Except, of course, if you need to sleep at night or rest, then tamas is necessary. But during the day when you're working, most of us work with rajas. But they say the rajas should be mixed with sattva, should be mixed with purity. I should work with the attitude of service, of purity. Whatever job I am doing, whatever I am doing the Lord's work, and the person sitting in front of me is the Lord himself. So with that attitude, when I work, then every action becomes a prayer. I may be doing the dishes, I may be vacuuming the floor, I may be a janitor, I may be a doctor, engineer. It doesn't matter wherever I am, whatever status I am in, but if I dedicate my activities to the Lord, then every activity can become sattvic, can become prayer. Then the teachers caution us that when we are on the spiritual path, there are two levels. There is a superficial level and a deeper level of sadhana. So when I start my spiritual journey, we start at a spiritual, superficial level. That's how, you know, we all started, you know, several years back. When you start going to the Chinmaya Mission and listening to the lectures or no. So you are at a superficial level and you start beginning to understand this knowledge. So at the superficial level, if you make a mistake, you know, if you go off the path and, you know, I did something wrong or I hurt somebody or I lied or I cheated, I shouldn't have done that. The consequences are there. Of course, we're not saying that, but the consequences are not that bad because you may have fallen off the track, but you are still at a very low level. It's like, the best example I was thinking in my mind is like a trapeze artist. Now she's learning how to, she's just joined the circus and she's a teenage girl and she wants to walk on the tight rope. So what do? They start them at 3 feet level. The rope is only 2 or 3 feet and then she'll walk and balance. And then if she trips and falls, you know, it's no big deal. You know, she just slipped, you know, she supports herself, maybe bumps her head a little bit and she gets up and learns. But then once she becomes an expert and she's gone to the higher levels of trapeze artist, then she's at 60, 70, 80 feet level. And sometimes they do it without a rope. Now the margin for error is minimal. There, if she trips and falls, you know, it's going to be the end. So similarly, when we are on the spiritual path, we have to progress. You cannot stay at the 3 foot level. You have to evolve. That's what Swami Chinmayananda says, that the spiritual path is a one-way street. Once you start on this path, it becomes so fascinating. It just grips you and then it pulls you along. And then you are very rapidly moving because the Lord himself then helps you. But the danger in that is that as you go deeper into your sadhana, as you evolve further and further, then your margin of error is not as much. Then if you fall, the fall is big because you've already gone to great heights. And we find in examples of some of the great rishis and some of the saints and sages, when they make a mistake, then the consequences are very profound. You have to be very cautious. So that's what the teachers tell us, that when you're doing sadhana, you have to be cautious. You have to... Again, it's not meant to scare people. What it is that when you are, the higher you go, the greater is the fall. And so that's why one has to be very cautious. Then people think sadhana means, you know, when I'm meditating, then I have to be alone. I have to be lonely. You know, I should avoid people. I don't need to deal with anybody. Just stay in my room closed and meditate. Why deal with people? You know, so they have this wrong idea that spiritual people are somehow withdrawn and they are good for nothing and they are just sitting in the Himalayas. No, some people are sitting in the Himalayas and the forests and meditating. But the majority of spirituality is practiced in the marketplace. You and I cannot leave our job and business and family and go and sit, you know, in some monastery. So we have to deal with people. So how do we deal with people? So I was reading a commentary. It says three things you have to be very careful when you're on the spiritual path. What do I watch out for? One is service. Always do service. Because as you meditate, as you do spiritual sadhana, you will get a lot of energy from within. But this I'm talking, you know, those of us who are trying to be on the sattvic path. You will get a lot of spiritual energy rising from within. And that energy has to be utilized. Otherwise, you know, it will just accumulate and create problems. So they say use it in service. Serve others. Help others to the best of your ability. Give as much as you can. Put others before you, you know, others' interest before my interest, whether it's in my family or whether it's at my work or whether it's in my community or wherever I am. Doing things for others, working for the benefit of others, and put myself second and somebody else first is one way to channel this energy. The second is, they say, maintain your physical health. You know, people think meditation means, I don't need to do anything, just lie down. And no, it's all the more reason you should be more healthy. If you want to serve the world, take care of your health. Eat well, do regular, vigorous exercise. Because exercise, it takes off, burns off some of the excess energy that we have and creates a lot of positive, you know, endorphins and positive. So eating healthy and doing exercise is very important. The third thing is, people think that spirituality means you should avoid everybody, you know, become a monk and just renunciate, sit in one room, close. No. You should learn how to deal with people. How do I deal with my associates, with my family members, my spouse, my children, my parents, my co-workers, my employees, my, you know, clients? So learn to deal with people, because this spiritual energy should make you a better person in dealing. If you are not, then again, that's another way to realize that I am not progressing. If I'm not becoming more sattvic, a more sattvic person should be a better person to deal with. So this is a brief summary of how one can evolve in spiritual path, because this is a kind of summary of what we have studied so far in this 17th chapter. So we are talking about tamasic, rajasic, and sattvic, different activity, like the diet. We talked about what is the tamasic diet, rajasic diet, and then sattvic diet. Then we talked about tamasic yajna, rajasic yajna, sattvic yajna. Sattvic is, you know, that which is done for, you know, for the benefit of others. Rajas is selfishness, and tamasic is taking. So now we are in the process of doing tapa. What are the three kinds of tapa? Now, what is tapa? Tapa is penance. Tapa is translated as penance, as austerities. So people get scared, you know, the moment you mention austerity or the penance, they get scared. But Krishna and Gurudev translate in this Bhagavad Gita, they say tapa is conservation of energy. You conserve the energy and then utilize it for your own spiritual growth and for others. Control your life a little bit. Control, again, doesn't mean see no evil, hear no evil. No, live a life of moderation. Just as water, when it is coming with great force and it's just running to the river, so they will put a dam, they will block it. Why? Not to permanently block the water, but to hold up the energy and then to direct it, A, to create electricity, and B, send the water where it is needed, to the farms, to the cities. So the water that is dammed, controlled, is then directed in the right direction for the benefit of mankind. So similarly, tapaha should be conservation of energy and then directed to my own spiritual growth and the benefit of mankind. And so I wrote it in Hindi, tapaha. What is the opposite of tapa is pata. Pata means downfall. And those of you who know Hindi, tapa means austerity, but opposite is pata means downfall. So if you don't live a life of self-control and live a life of healthy, you know, direction of your life, then you will go downwards. So that is kind of a brief summary of where we are. And last week we had talked about sattvic tapaha, which was shraddhaya paraya taptam tapas trividham naraihi afalakanshi bhir yuktaihi sattvikam parichakshate. So what is sattvic tapa? That is efforts with highest shraddha. Shraddha paraya taptam, faith in the Lord and faith in myself and faith in the cause. And then this tapa, when a person does without I or my, without looking for the fruit, that activity is called sattvic. So today, now we'll do the other two, Rajasic and Tamasic Tapa. And I have a lot of nice stories today. So today is a story day. So even only a few of you are here, I think, because of the weather and Republic Day, and a lot of people have gone to with the Jyoti. So, but it should be fun. So we're looking forward to that. So verse number 18, chapter 17. Satkaraman pujartham.
Satkaraman pujartham.
Tapodambhena chaivayata.
Tapodambhena chaivayata.
Priyate tadiha proktam.
Priyate tadiha proktam.
Rajasam chalam dhruvam.
Rajasam chalam.
So, verse number 18 in chapter 17, Satkaramana Purjatam. So, what is Rajasa? Rajasik Tapa. Tapa, as we said, is austerity, control, activity, controlled activity. But people who work with a Rajasik focus, so what is their goal? Satkar. Satkar means I should be well received. You know, Satkar, uska Satkar ki aapne. We greeted him well. So, wherever I go, why do they work? So that they should be well received everywhere they go. People should say, ah, look at this person, he's coming. So that is their whole focus. And then mana, and he should be honored. And puja, he should be worshipped. So these people who work with that attitude, why do they work hard? Why do they do? So that people should recognize, you know, who I am. People should see what a great person I am, what service I am doing for society everywhere. You know, my poster should be published and people should stand up when I come and people should receive me with great praise. So that is called Satkaramana Purjartham Tapaha Dambhena Chaivahat Yat, and with hypocrisy, because they want to pull the wool over people's eyes. You know, they don't want people to know the truth about who they are. So they do it, but with a very hypocritical attitude. They pretend to be very nice, but inside their motive is corrupt. You know, that by doing this activity, appearing very nice, maybe I'll get elected next time, people will vote for me and I'll become, you know, the senator or a congressman. And then, you know, I can make more money, I'll have more power. So they do it either for praise or for hypocrisy. Kriyate tadiha, and that kind of tapa, when it is done, it is called tadiha proktam. So kriyate, one who does such activity here, in this way, it is said to be rajasam, and it is chalam and adhruvam. It is transitory and unstable. It is not permanent and it is not stable. So let us see some examples of people who do such activities. I remember one time, Swamiji wrote, he was talking about a Mahatma, a Rishi, who had done a lot of tapas in the Himalayas, and he was coming down, and he was now going to be, you know, roaming around in the city and, you know, preaching. So he had some followers, so he said, announce it in all the newspapers, so-and-so, Mahatma, Rishi, 108, you know, 1008, and all, they put all their names, and my picture should be on posters all over the walls and in the newspapers. And now I'm going to be giving a discourse. And this is a Maharshi. He's Jivan Mukta. He's a realized soul. And it should be announced everywhere, because I want thousands of people, you know, who will be my devotees. I want to be well known. And then in the talk he says, you know, when I was sitting in the Himalayas on September 24th, 2014, suddenly a light shone. Light came and I was realized. That's not the way. Realization, people have this wrong idea that I was sitting there and suddenly a light comes and then the Lord appears, son, what do you want? And then you say, Lord, I want nothing but you. That's not. That's in the Puranic. That's in the stories. Truly realization, I am of course nowhere close to it. So I don't say from personal experience, but if you talk to these Mahatmas, they say it's not a light shining. And actually, in fact, there are some meditators who sit and they look for light, you know, blue light. If you see a blue light or if you hear some gongrus, So they say that, so then some Swamiji made fun. Swami Chinmayananda says, you know, when you hear gungrus, it's your wife walking with her anklets. It's not, you are not progressing. So what they say, realization is what? It is a change of state. It is just a transformation in the way you look at the world. It's not suddenly you have a light, you know, like a halo around you and you can walk on water. It's none of those things. It's just like the example they give is like, okay, you went to bed at 11 o'clock. You turned off the light and you lay down to sleep at 11 o'clock. Now, what time did you actually fall asleep? Do you know? No, it could have been 11:10 or 11:15 or 11:20, 11:30. Can you pinpoint the exact time? I was awake and then next moment I was asleep. No. You slowly drift into sleep and it's a change of state. So similarly, in realization is that we are at this body, mind and intellect level, and this realized master slowly evolve and fall into this state of Om. So it is a gradual awakening. It's like the opening of a bud. You know how when the bud opens and becomes a flower, it's so slow. Gradual, so that's what realization is. It's just waking to a different state of consciousness. Just as from waking you go to deep sleep, so similarly from waking you go to this state of Turiya, or the fourth state, because they say there are four states. Deep sleep, dream, waking, and then the state of realization, which they call as the fourth state or Turiya state. So, for somebody to declare that on this particular day I became realized, it's probably, you should take it with a pinch of salt. Then we find in politics lot of this hypocrisy and working for praise. You know, people to get elected, they will say anything, they will do anything, they will work very hard, but their motive is not truly service of the world, it is service of myself. And they will make all kinds of promises, you know, if I get elected, I'll do this and I'll do that. So all that is called rajasic tapas, where the person is working hard to get elected, even to serve the community, but his motive is ulterior. Then union leaders, that's another example, where these people, in fact, in India especially, is very common, you know, union leaders will go on fast. You know, if my workers are not getting their rights, I'll fast unto death. And he will sit for days and days and he's not losing any weight. So, yeah, what's happening? He's, you know, in the day he's not eating, but at the night time somebody is slipping him a sandwich or a roti or a mithai. And then it's very interesting. People who do these, you know, spiritual sadhanas, they will announce it. You know what? Ekadashi, I don't even eat or drink even water all day. You know that? I have been doing it for so many years. And in Mahashivratri, I stay up all night. Not even a wink of sleep. I'm remembering Lord Shiva. Or they will say, you know what? I get up at 3:30. And they will announce it in the parties. You know, I get up at 3:30 in the morning. And 4 o'clock, I'm in deep meditation. I'm in sadhana. And don't call me or disturb me at that time because I am in deep mind. And what that guy will do who has heard you in the party, he will call at 4 o'clock. That guy is of course sleeping. Huh? He said, why are you calling? I was checking to see if you are in meditation, you are asleep. So that is called dambha. That is called show off or hypocrisy. And that kind of rajasic tapa is condemned, because true tapas is meant for my own growth. It should be done in silence. Meditation, you should not announce. Or if you are doing fasting or if you are doing something, you are doing it for yourself. You are not doing it to show off to the world. So if you are doing spiritual, it's very good. And if somebody asks, and for, you know, to inspire others, you may say, you know, if you do this, you will benefit. Like, you know, we have our Thursday meditation class and I tell people, you know, what are the benefits of meditation and all. But if you're just doing it to show off, then that is harmful. In our Puranas, the typical example is Rakshasas. Rakshasas were these demons like, you know, Ravana, Hiranyakashyapu, and so many of these. Now, they spent years in tapas, in meditation, deep meditation, sitting in the forest or in the Himalayas in the snow and in the rain, and constantly undergoing all that. But why they did it? So that they get a lot of power and then they can dominate the world. So that was their goal. You know, I want to dominate heaven and hell and even the earth, everything. I want to be the greatest king. And not only that, but soon as they get the fruit of their tapas, you know, so many years they have deprived themselves, then they become powerful kings and then they enjoy. And Ravana, he has his Lanka, his Ceylon was a Sone Ki Nagri, was a golden city. He had all the pleasures, all the comforts. Then they go to the other extreme. You know, 5-10 years I didn't enjoy. Now maja karo, khao piyo maja. So that is again called Rajasic Tapas, where you are doing it for a particular goal, and then soon as you get your goal, then you forget it. No, Sattvic is I must continue to evolve till I reach that state of Om, the highest state of realization. Another example is like in India especially, we find that, I don't see it lately, but it used to happen when we were growing up, that people would say, I'm going to bicycle around the world. You know, people used to do that, I remember. And so these are people, maybe a guy who is unemployed, unemployable, he has no job. So he wants to become famous. And, you know, he's nobody. So what does he do? He says, I'm going to bike around the world. So he'll go to the newspaper and TV and say, you know what, from tomorrow I'm starting and I won't stop till I go around the world. So his article comes in the paper. And then every city he goes to, they cover it. And there he gets welcomed. And then he gets, you know, people give him money and give him food. And so suddenly this guy becomes famous. And then he will, you know, then he has to cross the ocean. So somebody will buy him a ticket. I mean, it's good. You know, you're doing something good. But your goal should be what? You know, just to encourage physical fitness rather than for me to become famous. So that's what Sri Krishna says, that such a activity is chalam, is transitory, adhruvam, is unstable. What it means is that, like this person, this bicyclist, he became famous for how many? For 3 days, 4 days, 1 week, 2 weeks, maybe a month or two. After that, who remembers, you know? So this kind of spiritual growth or spiritual progress or physical or is not long term. They don't persist like these rakshasas we talked about. They did lot of tapas, but once they got the focus, then they started eating, drinking, and then their progress gets stopped. So that's what Krishna is saying, that when you are progressing on the spiritual path, you should be consistent, you should be focused, you should be honest, you should be truthful, you should do things so that you continue to grow, evolve, and help others to grow and evolve. So otherwise the tapa will become pataha. You know, your tapas will take you downhill, become your downfall. And that should be constant. It should become a way of life. Spirituality, again, we're not saying that it should become a boring. In fact, it's very interesting. People think that spiritual progress means tyaga, renunciation. You know, they say, it's a boring life. You know, yeah, you can't drink, you can't have fun. Actually, as you progress spiritually, the joy you get is so much more than what you have given up. It's like giving up shells to get the pearl. You know, people have their hand full of shells, both hands. And then they see a pearl, they have no space to pick it up. Only when you drop the shells can you go and pick up the pearl. So this spiritual joy is so much more than you realize, that what I was chasing in the world was just shells. You know, looking for joy here and there, begging for happiness. Please give me happiness. I beg from my wife, my husband, my boss, my friend, my neighbor. No, you have the source of joy within. And in spirituality, you discover that. And then you don't depend on anybody for your happiness. And that is called sattvic joy. That is called sattvic progress. And that's what Sri Krishna is telling us, that look for that look for. Do not look for temporary things. The world is temporary, and anything that is temporary will give you temporary joy, right? Whether it's my husband, my wife, my money, my house, my car, my job, my business, my profession, my even I may be president of the, ultimately it's going to be temporary. You can't, you know, more than 2 terms. In fact, Obama was recently in Africa, and he was telling the, some of the leaders that they should not stick to power. But there you can go on and on. And he said, you know, Obama said, I only can be president 2 terms. He was even said, oh, if I wanted, I could have, if I stood again 3rd time, I would win again. That's what he said. But I don't know whether he would or not, but that's what he said. That was in the paper. But what he was trying to tell them is that one should not stick to power. You know, you have done it. Now it's time for you to move on. Let the younger people come and. But in other countries, still 70, 80, you know, they hold on to these dictators and all. So that's what they're saying, that this power and all, everything is temporary in this world. Anything that is temporary in this world will give you temporary joy. If you want permanent joy, hold on to the permanent. Hold on to the Lord, hold on to His feet, and only a permanent thing can give you permanent joy forever. And so that is the rajasic tapa that is full of hypocrisy and that is done just for satkar, man, pujartham, for honor, praise, and for good reception. So that has been condemned by Sri Krishna. And so this is the end of this verse. Any comments, any questions?
So when people were thinking about it, you know, telling what their sadhana was, I kind of wondered what that meant.
Yeah, sadhana is actually any sustained activity done in a particular direction. That can be dance, you know, dance sadhana. A person who is learning dance can do a sustained activity in, and become a very accomplished dancer or accomplished musician, you know. So sadhana can be, but in generally when we use the word sadhana, we talk about spiritual pursuit. So spiritual pursuit with a sustained, you know, goal and with a focus in mind. See, sadhana always has to have a higher goal and focus, and it has to be sustained activity. It cannot be just transit, cannot be a month or 6 months. It has to become a lifelong passion. So that is called sadhana. Sadhana means to have a goal and then to work towards it. But it can be music, it can be dance, it can be sports, but anything that is done with that. But here, generally, when we talk about sadhana, we talk about spiritual pursuit, done with that goal or focus in mind to reach that goal of self-realization.
Wouldn't necessarily have to be tapas.
No, wouldn't necessarily have to be tapas. Tapas, again, is used to be considered only as austerities or penance, but here what we use the word tapas is conservation of energy, not wasting it in useless pursuits, and then using that energy for higher growth, for benefit of me and for the benefit of society. So some amount of self-control, discipline. But then as you acquire more, especially meditation gives you so much energy. When you sit for meditate, it gives you so much spiritual energy that should be channeled for the service of mankind.
So meditation could be sadhana?
Yes, meditation is part. So studying, austerity, then studying, and then, you know, all those, you know, prayers and pujas and, you know, associating with teachers, all that together, you know, where your whole way of life or pursuit becomes in the goal of that.
And you might say, well, this isn't working, so go to a different sadhana?
Yeah, sure. Okay. Yeah, I mean, if you can try and say, you know, you took a particular path and then you found you were not, you know, it was not conducive to your mental upbringing. Like somebody maybe a very emotional person, and instead of choosing the path of love for God, he may choose the path of service or the path of knowledge as the primary goal, and he may find that he cannot sit and listen to the lectures, but if you ask him to sing bhajans, he can sing for hours, you know, songs in praise of the Lord. So whichever your main strength is, so you have to tailor it to your strength. And that's why a guru is important, because a guru can tell, sometimes can guide you on, if they know you well, they can guide you on the path. And or if you're getting stuck, like you're not progressing, then That's the time you go sit in front of a guru and say, look, I am not progressing on my spiritual journey like I should. And then he or she can look at it and say, okay, this is where you are going wrong, or this is where. But in also in every, in meditation and all of these, there are plateaus which come. You know, you for a while your meditation is going very well, and then you find you're not going, getting anywhere. And that's normal. That's the plateau. And there you have to persist. And then slowly, slowly, as you persist, then, you know, it will become better and better. So instead of getting discouraged and quitting, you need to have some stick-to-itiveness. It's very important. Does that answer your question? Okay, thank you. That's a good question. Anything else?
Is dharma the same as duty?
Actually, dharma, if you look at the Sanskrit dictionary, there are two pages of meaning. Duty is one of them. Duty is one of them. That's one of the very important. But dharma has many. It can be mean like the religion, like Hindu dharma. Then it can mean dharma means my duty. Dharma can be my status in society, like Brahmacharya ashram. You know, then Brahmacharya ashram has its own dharma. Grihastha ashram has its own dharma. Householder has his own dharmas, you know, depending on my station. Then dharma also means the essential nature of a thing without which it would not be it. So to give the example, what is the dharma of sugar? Dharma of sugar is sweetness, right? If it's not sweet, you won't call it sugar. It may look like sugar. Like in India, we get this alam, this patkadi. It looks exactly like sugar, but when you put it in the mouth, it tastes bitter. So then you know it's not sugar. Now sugar could be, you know, in granule, sugar could be powder, sugar could be in big pieces, like, you know, where you get those big pieces of sugar. It could be brown, it could be, you know, jaggery, all those. But if it's not sweet, you won't call it sugar. So it's not the shape, it's not the size, it's not the color. What is the essential property of sugar is sweetness. So that is the dharma of sugar is sweetness. What is the dharma of fire? It is hot. Sometimes you get these artificial flames in people's houses which are not hot. They just look like fire. So that is, the dharma has actually a lot of meaning. If you pick up a Sanskrit to English dictionary, you'll find really, literally 100, 200 meanings of the word dharma. But these are the main meanings. What is its essential nature? What is its duty? And what is its station in life? What are its, so there. But that's a, duty is one of the important ones, yes. Anything else about dharma?
At one place it also means jiva.
Jiva?
In Madhava Sarita,
the Indian. The essential nature of the jiva, right? So like my essential nature is not body, mind, intellect. My essential nature is spirit. All of us are actually that spirit. You know, we have two levels. One is this level that we function at, you know, body, mind, whether I call myself Anil or Satish or Pankaj, Kerry. That's my lower nature. But all of us have a higher nature of spirit or Brahman or consciousness or Atman or self. So that is my dharma. That is my true nature. That is who I really am. And this name and form that I have, male or female, young or old, is my lower nature, is my transitory nature, is the role I am assigned to play, like in a part in a play. So I am actually that, but I am playing this role, and with that attitude you should work. So my essential dharma is I am that spirit. I am. That is my true dharma. That is my true nature. That is who I really am. Om Sarve Bhavantu Sukhinaha, Sarve Santu Niramayaha, Sarve Bhadrani Pashyantu, Makasche Dukha Bhavame. Om Shanti 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 Harihi Om Sri Guru Bhyo Namah. Harihi Om. Thank you.